Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is the Large Technology Task Force call on the 5th of August 2013. On the call today, we have Devon Antiluxing, Maureen Hilliard, Gordon Silcott, Glenn McKnight. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich and myself, Natalie Peregrine. And we have two apologies, one from Yao Viatuhun and Bill Sands. I'd like to remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Dave.
Thank you very much, Natalie. And my name is David Antiluxing, Chair of the Technology Task Force. Okay, well, one of the things that for those who have been, we've been using Lucid for the past few meetings, as you've now seen, Lucid has now implemented their new version of Lucid Meetings. And it's obviously a very big visual difference for, so the things are pretty much in the same place as they were before. You have your agenda and where you can review documents to the left. On the right-hand side, you have your speakers queue, attendees, group chat, and audio. And at the bottom, what's the key difference, apart from the visual refresh, is that there's a bottom toolbar, and where you can have collapse some of these things on the right-hand side, and where you put the X, for example, the audio, which is not going to be used, you could put an X, and it will drop down to the bottom, and then you could click on the audio to bring it back up. So let's just look at the action items. I don't want to spend too much time because some of the things that we're going to be focusing on are relatively new topics that came up within the past month. One is the web conferencing, which is later on in the agenda, and then the social media strategy, which is also on the agenda for this call. So I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but I'm just keeping it as a reference. And Lance is not on this call, so part of the new action items that was recorded on a previous call, he can't really update us on for this call. In terms of the ongoing AIs, the TTF, NASA Evaluate and Review tools regarding accessibility of the tools. This is also another key thing that's also kind of been lagging and also now need to step up. I've been talking to Sunish, who is from Armenia, represents an at-large structure that deals with disabled users or differently abled persons. And now that she's coming off of NOMCOM, she could now help us a lot more onto this, as this is not my key subject area in focus. Let's see, in progress, Lance create template for structuring information. Okay, that's ongoing. The glossary of terms, and when I I'll bring that up in the social media strategy on that one, and well, staff defined data in Durban, we can cross that out. Okay, so...
Dev?
Go ahead.
I'm really trying to find... This is the first time I'm using Lucid. I don't seem to get into the chat. Maybe I don't have real access. Maybe I'm coming in only as a guest. But I'm not able to open up a chat box or put my hand up in any of the classic features of any kind of web conferencing.
Strange. Okay, this is Dave. Go ahead, but all right, but I'll respond after that. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, second of all, what I see on my screen is I don't see the agenda items. I can't click through it, and I don't see the list of your action items either. So
okay.
These are just to, I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to make sure I'm on the same page.
Thank you, Glenn. This is David Ann again. All I did was provided a link to the wiki page.
Okay.
So if you look on the left, review of action items, you see that I just put the link to it. I didn't really add a formal PDF or Word document or anything of that sort at this point. The group chat should be on the right-hand side. It's currently at the bottom of the, I would say the bottom right of the screen. So if you want to bring it up, you could close off, like say, the audio and possibly the attendees, and then it will move up in the group and up, well, up on the right-hand side, so to speak.
Okay.
And on the upper right is the speaker's queue. So, okay, and now, and so hopefully once you've seen that, I see Gordon Chilcott has raised his hand. So, Gordon?
Dev Gord Chilcott, for the record. I just noticed that, oh no, he is now, the Glenn is now one of the attendees. I'll see if I can start up a private chat to him, but Glenn, can you... Glenn, can you enter the enter a chat now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Thanks very much, Gordon Chilcott again, and I'll back over to you, Dev.
Thank you. Yes, that's also one of the features there. If you notice now, under group, there's a plus new, and from that we can enter a private chat with person. So that was one of the features that was implemented from our comments. So. All right, let's move on to the next agenda item, which is agenda item 3. So let's move it on now. So we're looking at the comparison of web conferencing solutions. Before the Durban meeting, we were obviously looking at Lucid, given its internal rollout in ICANN. And since then, we've also looked at beginning to look at other technology web conferencing solutions, I should say. Olivier recommended BlueJeans Network for review. Yaovi mentioned WebEx, which is from Cisco. And Glenn, who's now joined the Technology Task Force, has also pointed out several other new tools, one of which is ReadyTalk, which is one as a web conferencing solution. So I've already updated the wiki page on it. Okay. And then one of the things that has me thinking was that, well, and what Glenn was also suggesting was, well, we need some sort of matrix or some sort of methodology by which we can compare the features and come up with the pluses or minuses of each technology tool so that we could better evaluate these solutions. And especially as we try different solutions, you know, how do we rank them, how do we compare them, and so forth. So one of the things we've done, and I'll move on ahead to the next agenda item, which is 3.1, which is the actual comparison of web conferencing solutions. What I've done is try to put together a matrix so that, there's been some updates and suggestions by Glenn and possibly other members of the Technology Task Force as to a key set of features, the desired features for at-large use, and then we have each of the technology web conferencing solutions, Adobe Connect, Lucid Meetings, and we have, well, now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Eight versions of eight web conferencing solutions. So just to go through quickly what some of the features that I put in, there's technology support. It's whether it supports a variety of operating systems. Does it support Windows, Macintosh, Linux? Does it support a variety of mobile or tablet platforms? Does it have public and private text chat? Does it have things such as a speaker's queue, meeting scheduling, you know, the ability to present documents, to be able to get poll attendees or get a sense of what people are agreeing or disagreeing with what's being proposed. screen sharing, accessibility, bandwidth. You know, not everybody has high-speed bandwidth, so if a solution can offer, has lower bandwidth requirements, that might be more appropriate, especially for those areas, for those ALS representatives that don't have good bandwidth. Maximum number of participants, and things such as, during the Technology Task Force presentation in Durban, I mean, the issue of cost was raised, I've included it, although I don't think that's really a key feature in terms of whether, unless it's something outrageously expensive, but, because, I mean, obviously, if you ask ICANN to implement this, the cost won't really be a factor as such. But it might be useful for at-large structures considering solutions for their use. So now that I've run through briefly some of the features here, is there any particular criterion that is missing from this table? I see Gordon wishes to speak. Gordon, go ahead.
Yeah, Gordon Shulcott, for the record. Some of these factors that have been put in are interrelated to some degree. Bandwidth is affected by a number of things. I see full voice VoIP is one item that's in there, and video is in there, which can impact bandwidth fairly heavily. However, there's something else. There are two different kinds of tools, really. There are conferencing tools and there are collaboration tools. They're a little bit different. Collaboration tools do tend to have a fairly serious bandwidth, but they are necessary. Especially for teams, and by a team here I'm talking about five people or less, preferably four people or less, who are working on a document. A good collaboration tool would be really, really handy here, because the discussions, I'll use that term, about how some things should be worded can be, in my experience, a lot more quickly resolved and with a collaboration tool, where everybody can sort of put their finger in the pie. You've got to keep the number of people on that call down, which is also a good thing because it lowers the cost.
Okay, this is Dave. Okay, thank you, Glenn. Sorry. Thank you, Gordon. Sorry when I mix up. This is Dave again. Indeed, you're probably right. You know, some of these factors are interrelated and impact each other. So, like, for example, full voice VoIP and, like, full webcam usage would obviously be much higher bandwidth requirements. And therefore, I take that point. In terms of collaboration solutions versus web conferencing solutions, and we use both. I wasn't really thinking of looking at collaboration tools as well. I guess it's something we need to put on the Technology Task Force workspace. But in terms of doing an extensive formal evaluation, I wasn't thinking of that. Did I misunderstand you, Gordon? If you just ask you a quick follow-up.
No, you're pretty well there. As I say, there is a difference. There is a habit sometimes of attempting to use a conference tool for collaboration, and sometimes it works, especially if you've got a small group, as we have here.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often it doesn't. I should mention, too, that we're doing some conference tools evaluation within our ALS as well, and if it turns out to be successful, I'll add the name of that particular tool to the mix, just for the heck of it. It's an open source tool.
Okay. Well, obviously, Gordon, I mean, by all means, definitely put this up on a technology workspace. I mean, the idea is to just catalog all of this stuff so that we can go back to it and say, well, hey, we discussed this tool, and here's this tool that could be used. In terms of collaboration, one of the key tools is Google Docs, but I know that many in ICANN, in the at-large community, don't want to use Google Docs simply because, well, one, you have to have an account with Google, and two, it's not accessible by everybody. Not everybody has access to Google. In some countries, that service is blocked. And I think that was also one of the comments coming out from the Lucid meeting. I think it was Cheryl who mentioned it, that we also, and I probably did not put it in, was that it, to ensure it's, how should I phrase it? It to ensure that it is internationally accessible. It is not blocked by in any country as such. So that anybody in the region, anywhere in the world can use this tool. I think that's really one of the key things also. I see Maureen Hillard is in the queue. And I know Glenn is saying he can't see the button, but I'll take Maureen first and then I'll take Glenn. So, and Maureen, go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. You're probably wondering why I've actually sort of like popped in to this meeting, because it's not something that I normally come to. But we have an issue in the Pacific where we're looking at web conferencing tools that might help us with our board meetings, because our board meetings are sort of like we're all in different countries. And Niue, for example, doesn't accept Skype, which is our normal form of speaking, and has, because of the broadband, Imani doesn't participate except in a chat. So this is actually very interesting for me, and the comparison of the different web conferences is also of interest. So yes, I've got a bit of a wish list. But it's very interesting listening to the conversations, and just thought I'd explain that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. Indeed. Yes, thank you. I just changed my phone. Thank you. This is David Ann speaking again. Thanks, Maureen. And I mean, it's actually those type of observations that would help help the assessment, or at least document issues where this feature, which may seem to be beneficial for most of at large, is not very usable in certain areas. And for example, Skype I don't know if it's blocked or not even or whatever in your region. Okay, Glenn. Have you seen the button, or if not,
no,
you have
I think
floor.
I'm still coming in as a guest status, so I don't see this button. When I click on my name, I'm just getting who I am, but I do not see a clear... This is the usability issue. It's got to be absolutely clear for people, and here's an example of using a technology. I don't see the button for getting in the queue.
That's strange. Go ahead, Glenn. Respond to that, because I mean I'm seeing the button, but maybe, and I think other persons are saying that. I see Olivia. By the way, I see Olivia and Lance have joined the call. Welcome to both of you.
Can you, as this tool, this might be a good demonstration. Can you grab my desktop to see my desktop with using this tool?
This is Dave. I can make you what they call a facilitator as a presenter, which is a presenter. And once you have a plugin called Glance, as a facilitator, there's an install Glance plugin, which allows me to then, do desktop sharing.
Yeah, the reason I'm saying it is you can see the fact that my button's not showing up, but I don't want to dwell on that yet. My going back to the discussion that Gordon started, my opinion is that when you're working with organizations and some people, for example, when we did the outreach for the ALSs in Toronto, I simply used a Doodle. The problem wasn't the technology. The problem was getting people to actually take the effort and put their times into the Doodle for our outreach table. They would say, well, yeah, in whatever time that's available, you just slot me in, you know, which means that the responsibility goes back on me. Tools should be used by people that empowers them. They get information. They're sharing information. But if you're a facilitator and you're being conned into doing stuff that really you're trying to push the work back to the other people, either filling in these charts or adding best case studies or best practices so that when we make a decision that's appropriate technology, not the best technology, you know, it's a compromise a lot of times. And sometimes in our technology group, I could see us as a small group hiving off using a very high bandwidth whiteboard technology if it's a specific project. But generally speaking, it gets back to what I said the first time I talked to you about this task force. What is our scope of project? So clearly, what are we trying to achieve? What's the motive of doing Lucid or something else? That's the key thing that I need to get answered.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Glenn. This is Devanan speaking. I would say the scope of is to, well, if it goes back to what the technology task force was set up for, and it's also to assist that large community in terms of technology tools, and I don't have the exact words in front of me right this second, so I can't quote the line in scripture, so to speak, but the idea was that, you know, we can then evaluate the technology and recommend for use by at large. So, in terms of, say, looking at the web conferencing solutions, Adobe Connect, we use Adobe Connect, for example, and repeatedly there has been concerns raised that, you know, Adobe Connect does not work in certain situations. And if you've been involved in various Adobe Connect sessions, there's always this sometimes confusion when, when persons want to go on speaker if they're connected through the VoIP to the Adobe Connect session and so forth. This is why one of the things we're trying to do is also a one-pager to try to explain all these issues. So I would say the scope is for us to look at solutions that could be, that help at large, ICANN at large community, you know, the VELOS, the ALAC, and recommend which, you know, tools for use so that it can be, so that staff can then, you know, if you want to choose a different solution here, for example, if there's a solution here, for example, that is really works to our needs, works to our benefits, then perhaps staff can also then help to, I would say, I won't say implement, but I mean be able to support. Okay. So the reason why Lucid has been very prominent is because it's probably the more advanced of all of these solutions in that it has some use within ICANN. It's being used by it's been used by other working groups, in fact. I discovered that as well. The meetings strategy group is also using Lucid, for example. And, of course, we have also been testing Lucid, guinea-pigging it, for example. I don't know if that's the right word, but testing it out, reporting back on the floors, and this is the results of the this new version of Lucid is incorporating all of our comments. Just to answer a question, I see two things. Just to answer a question from Maureen Hillard, could we as an at-large structure use Lucid in our region, or is it just with ICANN? Good question, Maureen. Currently, only the Adobe Connect rooms are available to at-large structures, to use for by at-large structures. And I see Lance is now in the queue. Lance, you have the floor.
Hi. Morning there. Well, by morning at my end, and morning or good afternoon to everyone else. I think this leads to a comment that I made in an email discussion about having in the business a requirements document to get a feel for what exactly the at-large is looking for, what sort of tool. And I know there are going to be various things that have come up before. A key thing that came up is the business of of using Adobe and the VoiceOver ID separately. So is it that the solution that we're looking for will combine those features? So therefore, you log into one area and you get VoiceOver ID, and you also get the other features that you want, which is the chatting, and the other collaborative features. To go from there. Now the issue is that if we are testing to recommend, and other groups are already using it, and I'm assuming that based on what you said, I don't know whether they have adopted the solution already. It then leads me to wonder: is it that everyone is still waiting on the technology task force to recommend that Lucid is the final solution, or have others gone ahead themselves and began to use it? So that starts to complicate things in terms of saying that if we're doing the evaluation and others have gone ahead, it then questions the point to some extent as to why we continue to test the product, or certainly changes the reason why we are testing the product. That's just some early thoughts on that. Thanks, Deb. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Lance. Dave and Lance speaking. I see now Ken was able to log out and log back in thanks to At Large staff working behind the scenes. So now I'm seeing Glenn is in the queue. So just while I assume he wants to speak on something. So go ahead, Glenn.
I just say, hi, everybody. That's all.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Well, we're spending a little bit more time now on this 3.1. I take your point, Lance. I will try to articulate the proper scope of works, and Lance, I hear what you're saying, because it doesn't make sense trying to go through all of these solutions if they're not going to be. Any of our recommendations are going to be feasible to be implemented, because regarding Lucid, it's already being implemented in other working groups, for example. I guess this is possibly the challenges with regards to, well, policy versus implementation here. But I'll try to articulate more clearly the scope of the works on the mailing list, and also because we now have a much larger list thanks to Glenn, who has now put in much more solutions here. So let me just move ahead to the next agenda item and keep happening quickly here. The idea was that we would then schedule some trials of the other web conferencing solutions. Now, there were two solutions that we were looking at. One was the BlueJeans network, BlueJeans, and Glenn had recommended at the Durban meeting something called ReadyTalk. I'm just saying I've created trial accounts for these two web conferencing solutions, and we can begin a test of these two things this month. So my suggestion would have been for next week, sometime next week, and if everybody's okay, I would recommend trying the same time, the Monday at 1500 UTC, unless somebody objects, to try either BlueJeans, the BlueJeans network, and then. The following week, after the formal call on the 19th, we'll try the ReadyTalk. And during that time, we can then firm up our criterion, firm up whatever just clarify our scope and so forth. Does anybody have an objection to that? So my recommendation, I have created the trial accounts for the two of the solutions, ReadyTalk, BlueJeans. We can try BlueJeans, say, next week as a testing type, kick the tires, as they say, see whether it works, that type of thing. Then on the week after the 19th, we can then try the ReadyTalk. Okay, Glenn, I see your hand is in.
Yeah, go ahead. Where is the polling feature so we can poll everybody that's on this call? I as a facilitator, I guess you have control of those tools.
Yes, there is one. Usually, you can add a motion to. Well, there's two ways of doing this in Lucid. You can add a motion to which I could have done here, and the motion would have then be voted on as such. I mean, I'm not typing. I can't. I have to admit, typing that out, I probably should have done this before, but that's how you do it. There's an add motion as a facilitator. I can add a motion, and then everybody could then vote to agree or disagree.
So your question that you were just asking was to do a test, poll test next week? So you want to...
No. Just to clarify, this is Dave. We do one test of, say, blue jeans.
Yep.
Right? Because that was the first one in the queue. We do that next week. I would like to see Monday at the same time, unless we want to do a doodle for a different time. And then on the fourth Monday of the month, after the 19th, which will be the 26th, we can then do the Ready Talk one. Does that make sense?
It's fine with me. I guess I'm saying is that why can't we use a quick poll to have people vote on this this idea? Again, it demonstrates the utility of the tool.
Okay, point taken. I can see about looking at adding motions at another time. But
okay.
Anybody else has any thoughts on this? For testing the Blue Jeans network, I'll work with staff to coordinate how this testing could work or not work. Coordinate with at-large staff to coordinate to do the Blue Jeans network web conferencing solution next week, Monday. Okay, so going again, anybody's? Okay, I'll make that an action item. Okay, and then on the 26th, we'll do the Ready Talk. And again, I'll work with staff to share the administrative passwords and so forth. All right. Okay. Okay, now I'm seeing nobody else saying anything, so I assume everybody is okay with this. Okay. So let's move ahead now to the fourth item on the agenda. The social media strategy. Now, I have two links there, which I hope everybody could open up in a separate page. When the Technology Task Force came up with the social media strategy, it recommended that the wiki be used as the at-large wiki be used as the space where content is created, and then this information is then reshared among the various social media channels, Twitter, Facebook, and so forth. And one of the recommendations, in order as a quick, well, to put content on, was to use the content from the ELAC announced mailing list, since this was information that could be shared. Well, this is information that all at-large structures should be aware of and should be circulating amongst its members. That information be recirculated and shared across the network. One of the challenges has been, and this is obviously not a technology issue per se, was of course what other types of content could be used to share, well, could be used by the social media that could be posted on social media, and also as well, we disseminate information by social media, and that's one good thing. But, of course, the next thing is, of course, to, well, engage. I would say engage with persons on social media, and that requires persons to do it. And this is probably the difficulty that we need to now look at. This, So I should have note. I also note that I realized that the what I've described didn't quite happen. I've now realized that although I was seeing the post on Facebook, what was happening was that the updates from the ALAC accounts were going to this at-large staff account. And sorry, I should say the at-large community account, which is controlled by at-large staff, just to clarify. So the updates were going to, on that, and only those followers of the at-large community account were following, but not going to the at-large community Facebook page. I hope I'm not losing everybody in this process here.
Yep.
So, and I realized the reason why was because the password was changed, and therefore the updates didn't really go out onto the page as such. So I'm going to now spend some more time on this in terms of strengthening the technology of this. But I just want to discuss something regarding, I put 3 points here. How you know, who decides what goes should be posted on the at-large blog, so to speak, which is then reshared on social media. I just want to get some feedback here and some ideas here. I do have some ideas, but I mean, one of the ideas I'm thinking is that, well, the technology task force, there will be like a special group, and it, sort of a group that will help, how should I put the word, curate content. And what I'm thinking of will be persons from this technology task force, as well as the secretariats from the 5 relos, because, and possibly one other person from each of the relos. The reason why I say the secretariats is because, well, the secretariats are responsible for information flow within their relos, and I think what could then happen is that we can ask, in addition to the information being recirculated from ALAC and reshared from the ALAC announced mailing list, which is controlled by staff and the ALAC chair, you know, the realist can be asked then to make a contribution. And I don't know what the schedule will be like, whether it will be a one realer post for something each week and so forth. So, okay, I now see a queue here. Now I don't know. So, good. Lance, you have the floor.
Thanks, Deb. Probably for this question, because I this sometimes tends to get contentious in terms of what information is supposed to go out there, who decides what information is supposed to go out there, and in most instances, what might be useful coming out is some sort of there's some broad areas, I think, by now that discussions are normally had on the particular, and then there's information coming out of the ICANN, out of at large, in terms of the messages and the information, the updates that they want to send. But I think we may be useful to look at about 3 to 4 areas under which we would comment on generally, and then, you know, provide guidelines for that. I think that if we get into who gets to do what, with any level of granularity, that may cause a lengthy discussion that, you know, may not be as constructive as we would like it to be. Just my 2 cents.
Thank you, Lance. This is Dave. And I think that this is really, you're touching on the exact problem the exact problem here. I think what could happen is that, you know, the technology task force can put together some guidelines as to say, okay, well, obviously, you know, it must adhere to community standards, you know, expected standards of behavior. That's straightforward. And then say, you know, we can make commenting into certain area topics regarding the ICANN and so forth, because I guess we can't use the social media strategy to talk about issues outside the remit, for example, of ICANN. I see Dester also mentioned that Maureen has also mentioned using secretariats makes sense. And I see Glenn has also raised his hand. So, Glenn, go ahead.
Hi. From the Norello point of view, historically, the secretariat hasn't taken this on at all. So I'm not sure about the other at large, how they're sharing content. And just looking at that Facebook site on how old the postings are, over the last couple of years, I've been trying to capture as many pictures and short video content as possible to share it. And I think at the end of the day, especially with people that English is not their first language, reading a long, drawn-out document really is challenging. And if we can do summaries and short little video clips, summaries of sessions, I think it's contingent on our at-large structures. And as people who are doing task force, whatever the topic is, to do a short summary, because I think if you look at a lot of people, they get burnt out. That's too much to read. And I think I would say that we need to get a lot more people taking video and photos and sharing their content. Lots of people take photos, but they're not sharing them. Now, give you an example, Music Night, in just recently, I posted a number of videos of staff and people having a great time. That's an important element of what we do when we go to these events. Unfortunately, you know, would that be suitable content? And that's, you know, because people are having fun. But, you know, this is the thing. Does it have to be dry, boring stuff? So that's my comment.
Thanks, Glenn. And again, this is coming up to the key issue. You talk about people doing short summaries when you mention we, and that's really the challenge here. Who is the we in this? Would it be a special group, a curation group, so to speak, that will try to take a issue that's currently before the at-large by the ALAP, for example. So, for example, let's take the expert working group on the directory services. You know, there's been a lot of attention. There's been an initial document published. So could a curation group then could collaborate together to try to come up with a sort of, as you see, a summary of those key topic points and so forth? And that's why I say this is the challenge of it, and that's why I want to get some ideas here as to how to come up with this policy then to really do it. It's not really a technology issue as such anymore. The technology is there to know. We can put content, we could put videos, we could put photos, certainly, but it's really who gets to... Who's the editor? Who's the editor of this?
Go ahead.
Who's speaking?
Sorry. Olivier created a table for at large for people to do a summary of each of their meetings. If you look at that table, a lot of people did not do it. They didn't do a summary where they were. I think we got a problem of accountability. You know, people aren't doing reports. I haven't seen reports from any of the working groups in my own at large. People like to talk, but they are not providing summaries. In our case, in NomCom, we provide a monthly report, exactly what we did, so that we share it with or at large. Everyone should be doing the same thing. Not long, just a one pager. And there's a lack of accountability right down to the core working groups.
Okay, thanks, Glenn. This is Dave again. Well, just to say that I understand what you're saying, and I'm also seeing a lot of discussion in the chat here. If Maureen or Olivia wants to come on the call, you know, come in and speak with you and say something, you know, that would be good. You make a good point, actually. The meeting reports and, of course, on the ALAC monthly calls, there are supposed to be working group reports and, like, the RELO monthly reports as well. So those perhaps could be retasked to say, okay, look, here's a summary of what happened at this, and it's happening in Noralo or each, or you know, any of the Ralos this month, you know, they had, and so forth. So that's also a good source of information to pull from. Yes, I guess the thing that maybe not everybody is updating it as perhaps as diligently as they should. I guess, but then this is then we can point out that look, without this information, it becomes harder and harder for persons outside of the working group, outside of the at-large community, that you know. If you want to get more people inside the working groups, inside you know, working to develop statements, asking questions and so forth, we need to pull them in, and therefore the summaries are needed from the working groups, from the relos, and from the ICANN meeting reports and so forth. I noticed some persons are commenting on the report, in terms of reports on the Durban meeting. And, it's all part of the group chat, and it will go out on the list. Any other thoughts? Lance, go ahead.
Thanks, sir. See you. A lot of it, at the end of the day, again, is not necessarily the technology. At the end of the day, is the capacity to update the to put in information, as Glenn said a few minutes ago. I don't know what might help is if we are going down this road. Is certainly in my neck of the woods to deal with this at a project level. Project managers have begun to devise short forms that have three or four broad headings that would allow people in a structured way to put information in. I think if you provide that kind of guideline, and again, this, you know, this is a non-technical number, but certainly if you're going to go down the road and put in this, you know, the kind of infrastructure framework that we'd like to see, you may have to put some kind of form structure in there just to help with the process of putting in reports or whatever content that they want to put in that emanates from the various meetings. Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Okay, Lance, this is Dave. Okay, that's an interesting idea, but having some sort of templating to what's expected in a summary. Okay, that's an interesting idea. Just thinking of how the best way to move forward. Okay, so let me see if I could try to incorporate some of these ideas here. Somebody needs to be there. Needs to be either somebody or a group that needs to be in charge of ultimately posting to our blog, which is then recirculated on Facebook, Twitter, etc., etc. So the challenge, as we're now discovering, is that, you know, who decides what goes on and in what format. One of the suggestions will be that, well, you can have I think the secretariat should be involved with this, since they are tasked with information flow within their relos, and as well as the group within the technology task force working together to actually post the content and onto the blog. Information regarding the meeting group reports, actually, as Glenn's pointed out, you know, either from the Durban meeting, from the ICANN public meetings, could be pulled in, as well as the working group monthly reports, which are typically done before the ELAC monthly call, could also be used as material for full circulation. So, I think some of the comments were that the Durban report, meeting reports, maybe even though not everybody filled it out, it was probably much more improved this time around. And I would agree with that. I know, like, sometimes, you know, some of the ICANN public meetings, a lot of the at-large community are just simply burnt out and don't have really time to post anything before the end of that meeting. So a group comprising of the members of the technology task force, the secretariats of the RELO secretariats, can then look at perhaps deciding what could be posted. And before I contact the secretariat, we probably need to set out these guidelines in the document. So I guess the action item here to record is guidelines for this curation group, editing group, for posting to work for disseminating information to, you know, via social media. That document needs to be created, and we'll have probably look at incorporating. I'll try to incorporate some of the summary of the ideas we've taken in this call, and then post this out for comment on the list. And so we can, by the 19th, we can also look at, you know, really improving this a lot better. In terms of strengthening the technology of the social media strategy, sorry, that was probably the last point. The challenge has always been, you know, that that the accounts are controlled by at-large staff, and of course there is a lot of information contained in this that the staff would not want to necessarily share with outside of the at-large staff. So, for example, in terms of things like photos and so forth, what I've already done, I've created a Google account, ICANN at large community, so that things like photos and so on could be brought under that banner. And then, since it does not have any sensitive information regarding at large staff information, you know, of correspondence and so forth, it's a bit more, you know, we're basically isolating these accounts solely for the social media stuff. Okay? So that's what I'm doing regarding that. Also, I want to do the same thing for the Facebook account, because what also happened was that when the at-large staff changed the password, that also broke the resharing tool as well. So I also want to then look at coordinating with the at-large staff to create these separate accounts so that they're just solely used for the sharing of information as part of the social strategy. So there's a good separation of information, you know, for the at-large staff to have their accounts, and then but still have control over these community accounts, so to speak. So I don't think there's any, but if anybody has any thoughts or questions, by all means, let's say something now. Once, going twice. I do realize we are running out of time here, but going once, going twice. Okay. All right, so I'll work on that document. All right, let's move on to the next topic, which is the any other business. One of our projects we're looking at is the ideas for improving the organization of at-large content. I'm just putting that there now. I'm not really going to have an open discussion other than to please look at the presentations that were made before and make the comments or suggestions so we can then work on, I would say, delivering a final report on this issue, on coming up with the ideas, proposing solutions, identifying the problems, proposing solutions, and so forth. Okay. The second point was the ICANN Labs. This was introduced by Chris Giff, Fadi Shahadi. at the Durban meeting. So obviously, I think that, well, just to take you to the links, the link is at labs.icann.org, and they are introducing four innovation tracks. They call it innovation tracks. One is on conversation, education, communication, and discovery. I just think that we probably should need to really, well, I will encourage all of our members to really join this ICANN Labs, one. Two, I'm thinking in terms of these four issues, what ICANN Labs is trying to do, we need to also possibly submit a comment on, comments on these issues. You know, for example, there was a very interesting table infographic, and I'm trying to see if I can find that infographic on the page here. Okay, let's see if this link works. Okay, so if you look at the link in the chat here, differentiated engagement model, you know, there's a, and the ideas of this engagement strategy is to, well, bring persons, you know, in all of these three circles and have them collaborating together, which I think is a very interesting infographic. And I think we could come up with suggestions with how to achieve this. There's certain things in terms of, say, meeting logistics, I think that should happen in terms of, say, having cameras, for example, better cameras, for example, so that I know Glenn has been taking a lot of video, but really this should be part of the meeting. I think part of the meeting logistics to have better cameras so that better video could be recorded, better content could be extracted, and it'd be shared more effectively. One of the comments I've always been making over the years is that the public ICANN meeting, that's, you know, there's so much information there that doesn't really get out to the at large community, much less the wider public. So I'm just putting some ideas out there that I think we need to really monitor the ICANN Labs and make our voice heard. Okay. I'm so sorry, Lance. Go right ahead. Hello, Lance. Hello. Don, have I been disconnected? Is anyone hearing me?
Yeah, I can hear you. It's Glenn.
I can hear you.
Okay. Okay, I think unfortunately we may have lost Lance then. Okay, unfortunately Lance's line has dropped. Okay, well, I mean, we are now just 4 minutes past the hour, so we are coming up to the top of the 1 hour for this call. Anybody else has any, I'll hold out for a minute in case Lance is able to come back in. But anybody else has any comments, questions, thoughts? I'm noticing a lot of the chat here in terms of the social media content and the strategy. And like I said, it's... okay, let me answer Maureen Hillard's comment. The next meeting will be on the 12th, and that is more to this testing of the BlueJeans network conferencing solution. The next formal meeting of the technology task force is on the 19th at the same time, 1500 hours UTC. And then we would discuss the social media strategy and all of our regular technology task force agenda items. Let's see. I take it Lance has still not rejoined the conversation. Nope. Okay. Well, I see Glenn wants to say a few words. Okay, Glenn, very, very quickly. Go ahead.
Yeah, very quickly on the video and pictures. At the present time, the content is owned by me, which is kind of silly when you think about it. What happens if my account gets, you know, erased or whatever reason? It's not prudent because we're going to lose a lot of that history and that content. So that's an issue I just want to bring up. And never mind other people. That's a concern for me. But back to the iLabs. Has anyone did anything on the labs, ICANN labs, yet, or is it still in pre-launch mode? I know that it was supposed to be launched in August. Just, do you have any update on that?
This is Dave. Thank you. Thank you. There has been no further updates other than, you know, just sign up and join the to be notified of any changes and so forth. I've heard mid-August was when they would probably make some sort of more formal announcements from ICANN Labs. So, Olivier, please. I saw Olivier has his hand raised, and then I'm not seeing it anymore.
Yeah, thanks,
Olivier,
thanks,
you want
David,
to speak something?
Davidson, it's Olivier speaking. I was about to say exactly what you said. I've also signed up. I've signed up to the four streams that are there, and it doesn't look like anything moving at the moment. So, mid-August, we'll just have to wait maybe a week and a half or something. We'll see what happens then.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Lance, I see Lance is back on. Lance, okay, you have a quick few minute or two. Go ahead.
No, thanks, Dev. I suspect that when my line dropped, what has been my views might have been articulated. Again, I'm just saying that if we are doing work, certainly at large side, it should really be within the... bearing in mind the concepts that are being proposed in ICANN Labs.
Correct.
As someone did say that, as Olivia said actually, there's not enough work done to date, but we can certainly press forward in doing our work. But, you know, let's keep an eye on them to make sure that we're kind of in concert.
Correct.
In terms of the things that we're trying to do. So that was it.
Okay, great. Yep, indeed, absolutely. I agree with you. Now I see Olivier wants to say something. Go ahead, Olivier.
Yes, thank you, Dave. It's Olivier for the transcript. I was just going to address Glenn's note who just said just now that all of the content is currently under his personal account. I think it would be good for this content to be definitely transferred over to an ICANN account as such, and I hope that this working group can work it out with staff to do that. I mean, obviously, there are two questions in there. There's the first one being what should be in the ICANN accounts or what should not be in the ICANN accounts, whether this working group wishes to design a process by which content is vetted before it's put up, or whether in the interim you'd like to just put the content up and look at it with assistance from staff.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that might be a good thing for this working group to make recommendations on.
Okay, thank you, Olivier. This is Dave. Again, you're quite correct, and again comes back to the challenge regarding this, you know, the editor-curator kind of thing. How exactly can content be package to be posted, and which content should be done, and so forth. I agree. I'll probably work with Glenn since he has been doing a lot of the recordings. I do note that, like for example, a lot of pictures and so forth were uploaded to the ICANN to the At Large Wiki. Typically, under each of the showcases, where a lot of the video content was captured. There was typically a sight and sounds link under each of the those suitcases where video was uploaded and so forth. So, so for example, for the very first Afralo showcase in Kenya, for example, was recorded, but it's not was never really repurposed or other than being put on the at-large wiki for at-large members. So I'll work with, as another action item, I'll work with Glenn and transferring the content in one location so that it can then be under at-large, so in a, some sort of shared space, I guess, it will be, so that both at-large staff can have access to have access to the videos and so forth. And then from there, we'll make the decision as to how it should be edited, what should be shared, and so forth. Let's see. ELAC Facebook page? Okay. Well, all right. We are going on beyond the time. Well, let me ask, what does that mean, Olivier?
Well, it's
oh, yes.
Here.
I think I know what it is. Go ahead.
This goes further. This goes further than just creating some wiki pages and putting a handful of pictures and stuff. We need to have an actual strategy to develop this, a social media strategy with people who are in charge, with people who have the authority to be able to post on these things, with ways to maintain the account and something that's going to continue after we disappear. You know, we're dealing here with putting together a process and processes and having an organizational home on social media, and maybe not just one social media, but many other social medias. Nothing's happened in the past year, 2 years. We need to do something about it.
I agree. And I will. Okay, just a question, Maureen. You're asking, is there one? Is there one what?
One ELAC Facebook page.
Okay, I get you. This is Dave. Yes, Maureen, there is an at-large community page. It hasn't been probably utilized as effectively as it could be, but... that's what this group is going to try to really rectify. And regarding it's difficult to find anything on our wiki pages. That needs organizing as well. This is also another project that we are also working on. Ideas for improving the organization of our large content, which is also some work has already been done on that in terms of identifying some of the issues and so forth. The difficulty is, of course, coming up with effective solutions. Okay. Glenn, is that your hand raised, or is that an old hand?
No, it's a new hand.
I have
gigabytes of stuff, and it's a lot of content. And in the past, when I've sent pictures to Matt, it's to Dropbox, which is a nightmare. Because it is so much content. There's three levels of content. One, as Olivier knows, I cornered people, did a quality video, which meant I asked them to define a simple concept. These little video vignettes, I call them ICANN shorts, I have 34 of them, and there are people like Olivier and other people who talk about a short topic for 1 or 2 minutes. The other thing is, as you've seen with the Afrello showcase, only 5 or 6 people have viewed those. It's a question of distribution, and they're all the speeches from that showcase that we did on the Monday night, as well as all the speeches at the DNS and Women, and a ton of stuff. The question is, to go through all this content, to properly meta tag it, analyze it, upload it, it is thousands of hours of work. So because it's my time, I'm a little concerned about dedicating that amount of time to do this sort of thing. So we need to think this through.
Okay, this is Dave. Let's work on figuring out a way how to transfer the content to so that it's under at-large staff control here. I mean, I hear that it's a lot of content. So let's figure out a solution behind. Maybe there's a way to do it. I know Dropbox is one solution, but I know you're saying there's some issues with that. But
we need a repository, a central repository that these, if it's the secretariats, which I highly doubt they will take on more responsibility, that would be, we need a social media strategist being responsible for the content, properly tagging stuff, getting the content up and fresh, short and sweet, up so the rest of our community who can't come to these meetings actually can get an insight into it.
Okay, gotcha. Maureen, please go ahead.
Thank you. Maureen here for the record. What Glenn's talking about is exactly my point, is that there's a proliferation of different places to put content, and it's all over the place. Just adding social media content is just creating another area to put more content. We just need to be more organized, not only in to do with who has permission to load and what gets loaded, but also like where, and we need some guidelines as to where you can find what you need. And having somewhere for photos specifically and videos, and that should be, you know, a particular area. So, you know, I think my point is we just need to have specific areas so that we, you know, so that if you're going to put things into a wiki page, it's related to such and such, but you need to be able to find that wiki page. So the organization of all the content areas is, you know, quite vital. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen, and agreed. I think that also needs to go in part of this document that needs to be put up very quickly. I'll do the first draft of this document and post it up for comment on the wiki so that persons can make their contributions on that. So that's the key action item, incorporating all of these issues in terms of the curation of content, where content of such as videos be put, photos, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. And to answer the question regarding why the page was emptied, it was, I think, unfortunately, our implementation problem, where the ALAC announcement emails weren't being put onto that page, unfortunately. But going forward, I think all of that information would be put up onto that page. I did some testing, and probably seeing the beginner's guide, for example, which I posted onto the blog on the wiki, and it recirculated it without any issues. So, okay, now we've really gone beyond time here now, so I think we'll probably need to now adjourn this call. I just want to thank everybody for the conversation and the discussions, and we have some good ideas going forward as regarding the social media strategy, and also for the web conferencing solutions in terms of more clearly defining a matrix, and also beginning to do the testing of the other solution, at least two of the other solutions. And of course, once we do the evaluation, we can then look at refining our matrix and so forth. Okay, thank you all very, very much. Please contribute online and on the wiki, and not just during the calls. So with that, thank you very much. Have a good day, evening, afternoon, night.
Thank you.
The call is adjourned.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you very much, Dave.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much, Dave. Yeah, take care.
Okay.